Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, show 73, Sean Wally alongside, who else? Sean Boyd in the house. And, you know, light 'em up, the Seattle Seahawks trying to do that in Washington, D.C.
Man, how did I know that you would start out the show like that, Sean Wally? Of course, the Seattle Seahawks at the half, leading 17-7 over the Washington Redskins. And man, this game started out like gangbusters for one RW3. And man, I'm telling you, Russell Wilson has been putting on a track meet this first half. I mean, with runs of 17, 22, or I'm sorry, I believe one was 29 yards. He's been deadly accurate with at least seven of his receivers. And man, it's just been interesting to watch the Seattle Seahawks put on a clinic this first half.
Yeah, it's too bad there have been a couple offensive penalties. Otherwise, the score would be even higher for Seahawks. And, you know, you got to give credit to the Redskins for getting that deep strike to Jackson late in the second period.
Yeah, of course, DeSean Jackson getting the Washington Redskins on the board. And Kirk Cousins, you know, throwing a very accurate throw. Richard Sherman in defense on that one, of course. So, you know, you're going to hear a little bit about that. Expect some tweets over the next couple of hours from one Richard Sherman defending himself. But that is the only score for the Washington Redskins. Outside of that, I mean, you know, messing up my fantasy league with two touchdowns taken away. You know, it's just incredible. But, yeah, man, the Seattle Seahawks have definitely started out like gangbusters.
So it's been a weekend in football of scoring, scoring, and more scoring. Very few teams showing great defense. And we saw it in college. We saw it in the pros. Scores in the 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s. What do you think about the lack of defense going on in football right now?
Well, you know, I don't... Of course it's a lack of defense. I was just getting ready to defend, and maybe it's just good offense, but you know, of course, the game that you were at and worked, as a matter of fact, this past weekend was a prime example of zero defense. As a matter of fact, Sean Wally, you had texted me earlier that a special teams coach lost his job because there was such lack of defense or lack of tackling there is. And what we're talking about is the Cal Bears game. Of course, the boys from Berkeley going up to the Palouse and squeaking one out, 60-59 up there in Pullman. Exciting football game if you love offense, not so much if you love defense.
Yeah, Sean, it was just insane the amount of yards amassed by not just the Cougars, but both teams. And Cal somehow got out of town, got out of Pullman with a 60-59 victory. When Connor Halliday for the Cougars set an NCAA record throwing for 734 yards, wide receiver Vince Mele caught 11 passes for a Cougar record, 263 yards, and the Cougars had 812 total yards and lost.
Yeah, well, you're leaving some things out, Sean. I mean, you're only mentioning the top people. Let's go with the top three people in receiving for the Washington State Cougars. Let's go with Craycraft, who also had 11 catches for 172 yards, and Dom Williams with 5 catches for 107, not to mention Isaiah Myers with 9 catches for 96 yards. So, yeah, Connor Halliday, 49 of 70, 734 yards. And if you would have said, hey, Jared Goff, you threw for a great game, quarterback for Cal, 527 yards, and said, man, and you weren't the leading passer in the game, people would be saying, what in the world are you talking about? But yeah, on a losing effort, Connor Halliday, 734 yards is tremendous.
And it comes down to the final play for the Washington State Cougars. A 19-yard field goal on 3rd-and-1 from the 1-yard line. Cougars trying to get the winning touchdown, and instead they can't get it on 1st or 2nd down. They elect, with no timeouts left, to try the chip shot field goal, basically an extra point, 1 yard closer. And yet, walk-on kicker Brashears misses it just right. The snap was low. That might have messed up the timing. And lo and behold, everybody at Martin Stadium thought the Cougars had that chip shot field goal in the bag. They were going to beat Cal and surprisingly be in first place this early in the Pac-12 season, but it was not to be.
Well, you know, a lot of people are going to question that. Of course, Mike Leach electing to go for the field goal kick on 3rd down with 19 seconds remaining in the game. Didn't want to go with an extra play. I get that. I understand. But, gosh, there was 19 seconds left, and maybe there was a chance to, you know, poke that ball into the end zone. You have enough trust, Connor Holiday. Let's face it, through 70 times. What's 71, Sean Wally? But, again, it is what it is. Out comes the chip shot. It reminded me of times in the NFL of 2005, which is what I've mentioned before, the changing of the guard with the Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks. That flub, that snap, that it seems so easy just to place it and hold it, but there's a little bit of art to it. Obviously, as we saw, as that kick went wide right and it hooked around, as a matter of fact, and missed. And yeah, the Cal Bears wind up winning at 60-59.
And it's amazing what it says about the aerial attack. Sean is a former high school coach and a former college athlete. What does that say about the game of football to where you can throw for over 700 yards and lose?
It says that you need to throw for maybe 800 and win. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, again, when we were talking about the lack of defense, Connor Holiday and that team marched down the field twice in the third quarter. There were 56 points scored in that third quarter, Sean, by both teams, 28 points apiece. The Cougars come down and score, then they kick it off, and then there's a run back, 101-yard run back. The Cougars come down and score again, then a 98-yard run back. I mean, it was just amazing that, you know, the frenzy that this game was in, and we knew that it was going to be this type of a game. Just didn't start out that way in the first half, but boy, did the Cougars and the Bears not disappoint with the show that they put on in the second half.
In terms of running the football, is there anything you can take away from this game that points to, hey, we need a balanced attack. We need a running back that can handle the load and take some of the pressure off, not only the quarterback, but these receivers.
Yeah, you know, I just think that it was the tempo of the game that put the Cougars in this situation. Of course, what you're talking about, you have a great running back in Gerard Wicks. I believe he had 38 yards of rushing. As a team, the Cougars rushed for 78 yards of rushing. It's just one of those things that, you know, from a coach's instinct, if it's not broke, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I mean, if you're pushing the ball up the field, and I feel bad for Connor that he threw 70 times. I'm sure he had his, you know, he had that huge ice bath and maybe his arm in a sling after the game. But, you know, again, if it ain't broke, you know, keep it going and keep working it until they can, till they stop it. And Cal Bears weren't able to stop it.
And so the college football weekend, definitely in the Pac-12, and of course the top 10 across the country, a lot of teams fell from the wayside.
Man, if I were to tell you, can you think about this as I'm saying this? So there are two teams in the state of Mississippi that are sitting at number 3 and number 4 in the country. When was the last time you heard of the outside of an SEC, outside of the SEC conference with Auburn and Alabama, that you have two teams that are 3 and 4 in the same state? It just hasn't happened in a long time. If I were to say Wazoo and UW were numbers 3 and 4, you'd be like, whoa, what in the world is going on? Or UCLA and USC for that matter. But to have Mississippi and Mississippi State number 3 and 4, Auburn at number 2, you have 3 out of the 5 teams in the SEC that are in the top 5. Just a tremendous weekend. A lot of teams that were upset. And, of course, mentioning Mississippi State at number 4. They take on the Auburn Tigers this Saturday.
Let's go on out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number 1 tonight, and that is Yogi Roth, analyst for the Pac-12 Networks. Yogi, thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, of course, fellas, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Yogi, we were just talking about that big game this past Saturday that you had the honors of calling. My goodness, Cal Bears and Washington State Cougars up in the Palouse. Could you see it any other way coming down to that decision?
Well, I definitely didn't see it coming down to a missed field goal on a third down opportunity. I don't think anybody saw that. But from an offensive standpoint, yeah, I mean, this is, I think, what we expected. I think the narrative around the country that I've been hearing, though, I don't necessarily agree with taking a shot at these two teams' defenses. And I think we got to celebrate these two teams on their build. You know, Cal's playing 37 players for the first time. Washington State played 51 guys total, and you have 85 scholarships, and the majority of them are first or second year players. So defensively, you're already at a disadvantage with the rules, and these two teams were disadvantaged with the rules and their youth, and going up against experienced receiving corps. So it was exactly kind of what I thought from an offensive showcase. It was really fun to call. Both quarterbacks played well. Neither threw a pick. It was a blast, and it just showed, you know, the diversity in the Pac-12 conference.
Both teams actually showing, both quarterbacks actually showing a kind of signs of skeet shooting, if you will, as they were hitting, you know, precise receivers, as you're saying, those experienced receivers. One of the things that really, really shocked me was the fact that Trevor Davis ran 2 kickoff returns back to back, total 198 yards. I mean, that was just intense to actually keep the Bears in the game.
Yeah, that was nuts, man. It was a crazy turn of events. As, you know, Washington State takes the lead. As you know, Cal comes roaring back. Washington State scores. They kick off. Cal scores. Washington State drives down. You know, there's an onside kick somewhere in the middle. It was just a crazy turn of events in that third quarter. But for Trevor Davis, here's a kid who transferred from Hawaii, sat out last year, probably their most sure-handed guy at the position according to their staff. Clear explosiveness, and to me, it was the same exact return. You know, they found something, and I think you got to give their credits to their coaching staff. Coach Cumberdahl, he's their special teams coordinator. They found something, exploited it, and, you know, it kept them in the game because it was on the verge of being over, and Washington State kept moving the ball.
Yogi, with all the offensive passing yards, all the receptions, receiving yards, what does it say about the running game and running backs in these systems at Cal, at Washington State? Do they need to maybe concentrate on running the ball a little bit more to be balanced?
You know, I think balance is an interesting word, right? Think about our lives. Do we live balanced lives? A balanced life would be sleeping 12 hours and working, you know, a few hours, having fun a few hours, and none of us ever do that. But you can still live a balanced life, right, if you look at the psychology of that. Well, same thing in football. To have a balanced football team, I don't think you need to be 50-50 unless that's your philosophy, and neither one of these teams want to do that. They want to run the ball, but it's really yards per carry that matters. So for Washington State, the last few games, they're averaging over 4 yards per carry. Same thing with Cal. They clearly made more of a commitment. There's 2 different styles of offense, but from a running perspective, I think that's, you know, something that, you know, lots of fans like to say, right, whether it's on message boards or probably on your show, we need to run the ball more. Well, you just need to run the ball efficiently. And when you want to run it, can you run it? And within both of those offenses, they give the keys to the quarterback, you know, particularly at Washington State. Connor Halliday calls every snap. It's line of scrimmage, and he literally makes the call. Jared Goff gets the call option of a run or a pass, and then makes the decision off that. But here's 2 quarterbacks that they're trusting their keys. They don't have a million of them, so one says run, one says pass, and it's not that hard to figure out. And I think for them, finding out when there's an opportune time to run, you just want to make the most of it and gain yardage. And I think both of those teams actually did that majority of the night up until the final drive, obviously, for Washington State when they needed a yard.
Yogi, you've done a lot with the Pac-12 Network as a host, as a color analyst, and as well, you're doing things for ESPN. Who have been some guys that have helped you along the way and kind of been mentors to you as you've taken on broader spectrum in the broadcasting world?
That's a great question. You know, I've been lucky to have a lot of mentors, you know, from my family, my parents, the coaches I've worked with, coaches that have coached me. Sorry, guys, there's a helicopter that's flying over my head right now in Venice Beach. But a lot of mentors. But I think the thing that has allowed me to, you know, have a little bit of success is hopefully just meeting everybody involved. You know, I'm a big believer that if you want to be in front of the camera, you got to understand how to deal with it behind the camera. You know, you got to understand how to carry cable. You got to understand how to do the little things. And kind of a believer in the way you do small things is the way you do all things. So I learned that from a lot of different people. It'd be too long for me to single them all out, but fundamentally that's been the principle. And then just kind of enjoy the craft and try to celebrate it. So now I'm at the place in college football where every Saturday night before a game, I tell myself two things. One is to celebrate the game and the student athletes, and two is to coach the viewer. And I think that's my job to do. And I really enjoy doing it. I have an absolute blast.
Yogi Roth joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, Yogi, you lead an interesting life, man. And you know, before I even go into this, I mean, you might as well have a big S on your chest. Talk about life in the walk, man. And you know, I had a chance to take a look at life in the walk and, you know, how it transpired and how you just wanted to, you know, get the chance to spend time with your dad. And, you know, as I went through, you know, I started tearing up and I'm thinking, man, you know, what in the world? I call my dad. I tell him I love him. You know, all of that stuff. But you are doing an awesome, awesome thing in this campaign, in this documentary, in Life in the Walk.
Well, thanks, man. You know, I played football for a while. I coached football for a while. When I left coaching, I started doing documentaries. And I started producing them all, and all in the area of sports, whether it's for, you know, ESPN or the Pac-12 networks or NFL films. And it's been a blast. And in the meantime, I got to write a couple books. And I sat back two summers ago, and I said, man, I really want to write a movie. Now, I want to pen my first documentary film as a director, and I was trying to think of a topic. And my father had been diagnosed with prostate cancer years earlier, and, you know, they didn't get it all. And I came back and kind of sat there and started polling a bunch of my male friends, and I asked them what their relationship was like with their parents, in particular their fathers. And everybody, really, including, you know, majority of sons, said, man, you know, I don't really know my dad very well. You know, I didn't ask him all the questions that I wish I would have asked if he was passed away or if he was still alive. They didn't ask them the questions that they kind of were curious to find out. So I said, I'm going to do a documentary about it. And I asked my dad to go for a walk. You know, I didn't want to one day wonder what if, you know, one day wish that I asked my dad something. So I took him on a vacation, and we went for a walk in Portugal and Spain along this pilgrimage called the Camino de Santiago, probably the most famous pilgrimage in the world. And we walked. And we walked through amazing and simple countryside and beautiful images along the coast of Portugal into the country of Spain. I got to learn about them in ways that I had dreamt of previously. And now I've got a feature-length documentary. It's almost completed. And as I was doing this, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do it, right? You can ask high rollers for funding. You can look for private investors. All those are options. But I said, you know, I really want to take this to a crowd. I want to take this to a community and see if people will support it, not just fundamentally from a financial perspective, because you can do that on our Indiegogo campaign, but from an ethos standpoint, from an emotional standpoint. What you just said earlier as the intro to the topic, I can't tell you over the last day and a half of this campaign being live, I've gotten hundreds of tweets, messages, texts, emails, you name it, about people saying that exact same thing. And sometimes some of them had lost their parents already, and some parents are still around, and they went and told them they loved them and called them. And what I hope this documentary does is two things. One is, you know, give my kids someday and their kids someday and their kids someday something to watch and learn about, to me, the most amazing human I've ever been around, and my father. But two, I hope it makes every viewer really uncomfortable. I hope it makes you uncomfortable so much so that you say to yourself, wow, I don't know if I'm spending enough time with people I care about, and then you go do it. And we've accomplished that so far. So, I mean, it's trending. It's trending right now on social media. It's getting a lot of love, and hopefully we'll raise all the money we need. But to be honest, if we don't, I'm not really going to care, because we're still going to make the movie. And we still are continuing to influence people to spend time with those that they care about. So the goal is getting accomplished slowly but surely, and hopefully we get the funding so we can make the film as amazing as I dream it to be. But the goal is to get people inspired. And it's been happening, and it's been humbling, and it's been really cool to just watch it on social media and watch it online just grow all day from $0 and zero, you know, no one knowing about it, you know, a couple days ago when I saw you in Pullman, to now it's, you know, it's at least a relevant topic.
For those of the listeners that want to actually take a look at the website, please go to lifeinthewalk.com. Again, that is lifeinawalk.com. Some great things going on, and you can peruse the website. And there are some packages that are put together, it looks like, Yogi, as far as, you know, if people want to celebrate and do certain things, you know, they can donate a certain amount of money, and participate in these different packages.
Yeah, they're really cool. I mean, I think your fans are going to love them, to be honest. It's as creative as there has been an Indiegogo campaign, especially in the sports world. You know, you want to go see the Seahawks play, great seats, meet Pete Carroll, go to practice, see the team, you can go do that. And you want to go to the Pac-12 Championship and hang out with me backstage on set, you can come do that. You want to go to the Browns, get an autograph ball from Johnny Manziel, you can do it. Same thing with the Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald and throughout the country. And I pretty much called in all the people that I know and told them about the story, and nobody flinched. Nobody hesitated. Said, yeah, what do you need? What do you need? I got you. What do you need? Whether it's a hoodie or a journal, or you can only spend $5 and, you know, do something simple or buy yourself a t-shirt for 30, whatever you can do, it's going to help this film roll. And hopefully, as we created these gifts, you know, get people to spend time with one another, because that's really the theme behind the whole concept.
Yogi Roth, it was great getting to meet you this past weekend in Pullman. Hopefully we'll do it again in a few weeks, and best of luck on lifeinawalk.com. Follow Yogi at Yogi Roth. Yogi, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, fellas, thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Yogi.
There goes Yogi Roth again, lifeinawalk.com. It's a great documentary he's putting together and trying to do it A+ and get it out there the right way and have it totally dialed in. And there's big plans for viewing parties in Los Angeles, one in New York. You can buy, your donation can get you tickets to go to those events, travel not included. As he mentioned, you have a chance if you would like to go see Seahawks practice and meet some of the guys like Pete Carroll, who was once a mentor for Yogi Roth with the USC team down in Southern California. Just lots of options and ways you can help Yogi on his journey at lifeinawalk.com.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what Yogi does is he takes the excuses away from living life. And that's what I like, you know, from talking with Yogi. His biggest deal is, hey, man, if there's enough time in the day, do it. And, you know, so many of us, we like to use the excuse of being tired and we can't do this or we can't do that. And we put ourselves in a nice little shell. And what Yogi's done, and, you know, taking a look at the website and actually reading upon a lot of the things that he has done, man, he takes away a lot of those excuses, man. And I get real excited. And what you were mentioning, Sean, is, you know, as far as, you know, his influence, the circle of influence, the people that he's been around. You mentioned Pete Carroll, and that's how he had his ties with USC. You mentioned, which is the reason why there's a Seattle Seahawks package, I believe, in there. And I was wondering why there's a Seahawks package and a Pittsburgh Steelers package as well. But, you know, the connection there. And, of course, with Coach Cornell Ward, who we didn't get a chance to talk to, a former guest on the double with the Double S Express, and just surrounding himself around positive, active people and making a difference, not just, you know, for himself, for his family, for everybody all around. And man, it just awesome, just an awesome guy to be around.
And I can tell you from working with him this past weekend for the Pac-12 networks, he was the most easygoing, down to earth, approachable, humble guy. And I hope he came off that way in the interview, because that's exactly how he was. It was just a great time being around him, Kevin Calabro, Lewis Johnson, who was the sideline reporter for the game. Just great guys, and two of the three have been guests on the show, and in the future we'll have Lewis Johnson on as well.
Yeah, man, you know, again, Yogi just brings that excitement, that fervor, and of course, you know, when you listen to him calling the games, he knows exactly what he's talking about. And of course, you know, coming on to the show, we were just talking about, you know, the lack of defense there was, and then Yogi brings his perspective on, you know, let's not lay the hat on the defense so much. You know, let's give the credit where credit is due, where there's experienced receivers, where there are quarterbacks that actually, you know, have a little bit of savvy. And all those things play a role, you know, into that game that we saw. But again, you know, Yogi with his expertise, you know, we haven't gotten into a lot of the things that he's done. Yogi's, man, Sean, the guy's an actor, has won awards upon awards and produced so many things. I mean, man, what hasn't he done? That's why, you know, I said, man, you might as well have, you know, a big S on your chest for Superman, because, you know, Yogi, you've done some awesome, awesome things in life, and it's, you know, it's only just begun. And man, if we can just follow and you know, and be an example just like that, man, the world's going to be an awesome place and turn itself around, and we don't have to hear a lot of this negativity that goes on all the time.
And Yogi's a great guy to know and to have in you know, our Rolodex and bounce ideas off of, and a guy that's been there, done that, and he's young. He seems to be in his mid-30s, and he's done so much. And, you know, maybe down the road, somehow our paths can cross outside of, you know, just working on the same crew as him, but actually maybe being involved in the same project at some point, and that would be an awesome endeavor.
Well, one way to do that, Sean Wally, is, again, to definitely go into or go on to lifeinawalk.com. Of course, people, you know, this is an awesome website. You know, you get a chance to raise money for a great cause. You also get these great packages. Feel free to go on there. Again, Yogi Roth putting together this website, lifeinawalk.com. Again, some awesome stuff put on by Yogi Roth.
Well, Sean, why don't you, before we get to our first break, what is going on in the contest back at FedEx Field?
Well, man, there's just an awesome punt that was just made by the Seahawks. They were downed at the one. But, you know, the Seahawks are in command as we speak. 17-10, about 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter. The Redskins have the ball, and, you know, let's see if they can drive down the field. Well, for your case, maybe not. But let's see if the Redskins can muster up a drive and tie this thing up.
You know, Sean, it's okay, because the NFL has seen so many lopsided games, especially in these national televised contests, that they would like something a little bit closer, keep the viewers, keep some people entertained, and hopefully that can happen tonight as long as the team from the left coast comes out on top.
And again, I knew you would say that, man. So coming back from the break, we will have guest number two. As we are rolling right along, guest number two, Jason Gesser, on the double with the Double S Express.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep.
It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you too would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Cause you burn with the brush fade. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Show 73. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Man. Hall of Fame. There is a guy on the field at FedEx that would like to be there in about 20, 25 years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that is Russell Wilson, who's actually putting on a clinic. Even though the score is close, it just doesn't seem that way, you know, by looking at the game. And, you know, Russell Wilson has full control of this game right now.
Yeah, 17-10, a little too close for comfort for myself, and I would guess any Seahawk fan out there. Of course, it's nice to be up a touchdown on the road. You'd take that any day. But as you're saying, it hasn't appeared to be that close.
Well, you know, Russell's got six attempts for 89 yards rushing. That's a 15-yard per carry gauntlet there that he's putting on. And of course, Marshawn Lynch, 9 carries of 47 yards. But yeah, again, it's been the RW3 show, 13-17 for 140 yards, and, you know, getting everybody involved.
Now, Sean, as we await our second guest of the evening, well, before I get to my question here, give me 1 second. All right, I guess I'll get to my question. You can answer, Sean. There was a coaching change last Monday, just within an hour of closing our show last week down there in Oakland.
Yes,
where
there
do your Raiders go from here?
Well, they're not sitting idle, I can tell you that. As you were saying, just an hour before, you know, we had mentioned, or I had mentioned, that if the Raiders were going to make a move, they would have to make it soon, and they would have to, you know, give themselves time through the bye week to do that. Well, they went and they fired Dennis Allen, and, you know, had brought in interim head coach Tony Sparano, which I think is a good choice, a really good choice. Tony Sparano has head coaching experience. He is a hard-nosed, fiery guy, and so you're asking, where do the Raiders go from here? Well, it's Tony Sparano's team right now, but Mark Davis and Reggie McKenzie are wasting no time as far as finding suitors are concerned, or actually asking questions just to put a panel out there. And, of course, John Gruden's name came up. But Mike Holmgren was in Alameda a couple of days ago. And it wasn't like people might think. You might think that maybe the Raiders are looking at him as a head coach. That might be the case. But they were actually just calling Mike in to actually take a look at film and see some of the things that they are doing wrong. And I think that's a step in the right direction. I think that when you talk about the Raiders and people's first reaction is to say same old Raiders, it's not the case. Even though things are very, very bad right now, that's not the case. And it's only a matter of time before things get turned around quickly, because they're trying to right this ship in a short period of time.
We'll have time for more Raider talk later. Let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number 2, none other than Jason Gesser, former Rose Bowl quarterback for the Washington State Cougars. Jason, thanks for your time tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, Jason, last we talked to you, man, you were in Wyoming as a quarterback coach, And now this season, you know, you're starting things back at the old alma mater, Washington State University, and, of course, calling, doing pregame and postgame for them.
Yeah, so doing the pregame shows, calling color for all the games as well, too, during in-game, and then doing the postgame interviews as well, too. So doing basically everything here, do a bunch of radio spots and shows throughout Monday. Monday is my heavy day, media day up here. Also working full-time in the Cougar Athletic Fund, so doing all major gifts, helping Doe Moose raise the athletic department to the level that he needs to have it raised to, and build the facilities and doing all that stuff. So I got my hands full up here.
Well, no doubt about it, and I can only imagine there is no other place that you'd rather be than on the Palouse and doing some things for the Cougars. Man, you had an exciting game to watch there this past weekend. Unfortunately, came up short for the Cougs, but Cal Bears come in 60-59. Now, I know that it seems outlandish, but something tells me you might have had a game or two that was like that down there sometime in the past.
Yeah, it's me personally, I don't think we've ever had that kind of a game of just sheer passing the entire game. But as far as Mike Leach and this Washington State team, they've had a game or two like that, and that's for sure. The thing that impressed me the most the other night, just the quarterback play on both sides of the ball. It was unbelievable. Goff is going to be one of those guys that we're talking about for a lot of times to come, for the next 2 years. He's a true sophomore. He's only going to get better and better. And he was very, very, you know, clean, very crisp in everything he did. Took their offense a little while to get going, but once they did, obviously, Washington State and Cal went back and forth. And for as many times as the ball was in the air, as many attempts, opportunities that both offenses had to turn the ball over, not one turnover from either offense the entire game, an interception nor a fumble. It was just a real clean, great college football game, and it was fun to be a part of.
Now, Jason, Mike Leach has this Cougar football team very, very close. I mean, they had a great comeback the week prior on the road at Utah, and now, man, they set records offensively, and Connor Halliday is now the NCAA quarterback record setting for most yards in a game with over 700, and yet they were a point short. They were a field goal away, 1 yard away, in fact, from winning the game with a touchdown. What's it going to take to no longer be close but get over that hump?
Really, I think at the end of the day, it's just going to end up taking just a team to come together. I think that Utah win was huge. They've had a lot of games where they've had opportunities at the end, going from last year's bowl game, closing that one out, not being able to close that one out, to the first game this year against Rutgers, not being able to drive down the field and get a field goal, or at least tie it, a touchdown to not win it. Oregon game where, again, they had a chance to go and drive down the field and score a touchdown to tie it. And then Utah. Utah was huge, being down 21, coming back, having a game-winning drive at the end of the game, not only offensively but then defensively, stopping Utah to win the game. So they've had their fair share of close games, and then I think Utah was their first one of putting it forward. And this Cal game, to be honest with you, you make an 18-yard field goal, and we're talking about how they came back in this one as well, too, and fall all the way through. So it really is just one of those teams where they're going to have to fight and claw every single week and not have any mistakes because they can't afford it right now. And I remember, and I equate this team to a team my sophomore year. My sophomore year, nobody gave us any respect. Everybody kind of shoved us under the table, shoved us to the side. We had 3 overtime losses, and we had 2 more games we lost in the last minute. Well, that following year, we were picked to finish 10th in the Pac-10, and we ended up being number 3 in the country going into the Apple Cup and having a 10-win season and going and beating Purdue in the Holiday Bowl. And so, or in the Sun Bowl, excuse me. And so, that being said, I think this team is very, very close. And from our team that year, that sophomore year, to our junior year, that transition, basically what it took was that our team, our core leaders coming together and not caring about what anybody else on the outside is saying, but just working together. Nobody pointing fingers, nobody blaming the kicker, nobody blaming the defense, nobody blaming the offense or the special teams. everybody to saying, I got to do a better job to make everybody else's life easier, and we got to come together. And they're very, very close to making that happen right now.
Jason, you're around this team week in and week out. What's the mindset after a loss like that? And as a former player yourself, how do you stay positive?
It's hard. It's not easy. I mean, everybody can sit there and say, hey, we're moving on to the next one, and we got to focus on Stanford now. It's a short week, and give all the politically correct answers. But it's not easy to do. And you're talking about kids. You're talking about kids that are emotional kids. One thing that I do like that I'm seeing is that this team has not been on that emotional roller coaster like it has been in the past. Usually if something goes bad, everybody goes bad. And until it takes something to do something good for the other guys to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe we can do it, rather than everybody fighting out and pulling together. So they're starting to have that emotional stability, which I like to see. Now, it's easier said than done to just kind of putting this game behind you. But at the end of the day, it's just going to take getting back out to practice, getting one practice underneath you, going to the next play, and basically just taking a look around the country. Look at the team that they just beat the week before. They beat a Utah team, came back down by 21. What did that Utah team do? They went down to UCLA, and they beat UCLA, number 18 in the country, and beat them at their house. So they know they can go and compete with anybody. So it's not just a fluke or hey, we can't do this, we can't do that. They've made those games. They have to understand that. And so for them just to understand, hey, we just continue to come together, take one day at a time, and with time the injuries will heal, of the emotional injuries of losing this game will heal. And by the time we get to Stanford game, we're ready to lock and load, and we're ready to go. Now, like I said, that's easier said than done, and kids hold on to things a lot longer, but it's got to come from that coaching staff, and it's got to come from the leaders from within the team to really just be talking about it day in and day out of moving forward in Stanford, and forgetting about what happened this last game.
Jason Gessler, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Jason, yeah, you're exactly right. Just taking it one game at a time. But, you know, I don't think anybody's taking the Cougs lightly. Man, passing yards per game, the Cougs are ranked number one in the FBS, and that says a lot. 523 yards a game. I mean, you really have to have your DBs ready if you're going against the Washington State Cougars. And, you know, Connor Holiday, this kid seems like he is Cool Hand Luke. Things look easy, even though they're not. I know that they're not, but this guy, I would love to have him on my team, you know, leading my team up and down the field.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, he's really starting to come into his own as of late. Going from last year, very, very up and down kid, didn't really have a lot of emotional stability. Was all, he had a lot of palms up, what I like to call hands in the air. The O-line didn't block, or the receiver ran the wrong route, or things like that. But he's really starting to mature and come into that leader of, hey, no matter what happens, we're going to figure this out. I'm going to put you guys on my back, and we're going to go and win this game. And the receiving core has really started to step their game up tremendously. I mean, the depth of the receiving core is unbelievable. And then the biggest question mark coming into the season where everybody was afraid of was the offensive line. We had three new offensive line from center, right guard, right tackle, three new players that have never played a college snap before starting. And the other two guys only having a handful of starts from the previous year. So, a very young offensive line, everybody was kind of worried about if they were going to be able to produce, and they've been producing and growing together really well as of late too, giving Connor that time. And he really is starting to come of his own, and you can tell in the beginning of a game, in the first couple of drives, if he's going through his progressions really quick and really clean and getting to his checkdowns when he has to and not forcing downfield, you know he's going to have a good game. If you start seeing him forcing it within the first couple of drives, you know he's going to have to try to shake that and kind of calm himself down and try to have a better second half, because he does get in those games and those moments where he tries to force things downfield, and we've seen that bite him in the butt last year and the first couple games this year. So, but the kid is really starting to come into his own. His maturation process is coming along very nicely. Third year in Coach Mike Leach's offense and his system, where he's really starting to take off.
Now, Jason, how much of a role have you played as far as with, you know, being an alumni and, of course, being back into the program? How much of a role have you played as far as, you know, possibly mentoring and helping Connor out in his progression as well?
You know, I like to say I've played somewhat of a role. When I was in between gigs, when I left one where everybody got let go of Wyoming and I came back here, we were living in Pullman from when I was coaching before at Idaho. Family was still out here, so we're right here in town. And Coach Leach was awesome. He was like, hey, come out to practice whenever you want. Love to have you out. So I was on the field on the side, standing right behind the quarterbacks, just hanging out and just being out there with them and really just kind of enjoying practice. And Connor would always come up and ask me, hey, you know, what's going on? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And to be honest with you, myself and Jack Thompson, the other former quarterback, were the two guys that really kind of grabbed the reins this spring and kind of mentioned to him, hey, one thing that you need to work on is being more emotional stable or more emotional, have your stability a lot higher and not be all over the place, not be really high and then be really low and be really high and be really low. You got to have that level. And we talked to him in a stern fashion of, you do this on the side, you have this mentality, your body language, and your team responds to that. If you have good body language, your team responds. If you have bad, your team responds. We see it from watching at home. We're not even there with you. We see it from watching at home. And he took it to heart, and he's really been trying to work on it. And I truly do think that Graham Harrell, when he joined the coaching staff, he really started to kind of sink that in as well too, and him being there 24/7, being there with him in meetings and being there with him you know, out there on the field, being able just to watch him and be able to relate stuff to Coach Leach of what he needs to tell him and how everything goes. So it's really I think it's really been a combination of a handful of guys just really kind of helping him mature and get to the place where he needs to be.
Jason Gesser with us. And Jason, you mentioned Jack Thompson, the great throwing Samoan former Washington State quarterback, and we had him on the show about 3-4 weeks ago. And one of the things he had to say about Cougars and fans of all sports was finding a way to get them back and to stay the entire game and to get each stadium arena packed and full. What's it going to take for that to happen on a consistent basis?
I think it's happening. It's starting to turn right now. You can start to see it. It's a culture. You go anywhere across the country, a team that has a program and a university that has a culture, and they understand that and they have that belief, it's not an issue. And we had that culture back when I was playing, and it took 3-10 win seasons to get it to that standard and that expectation of here's what we should have every single year. And it was something that had never been done in Washington State history before. Washington State has been known for, hey, winning a bowl game every 4 or 5 years. A quarterback will come through, have a pretty good, be a pretty good quarterback, and he'll help get this team to a bowl game his junior or his senior year. And we had to change that mindset, and it was a group of leaders that changed that. Well, we took a big dive after those 3-10 win seasons, after we went from coaching change to coaching change to coaching change, and the program suffered. And right now they're trying to come out of that. And with Coach Leach and his expectations, putting on the fans, talking about them, you know, not just being happy with competing in the game, but wanting to win the game, having that expectation of winning the game, having that expectation of showing up early and staying late and being there through the whole game and enjoying the festivities and being a part of the win, not just being there to witness the win. And so you're starting to see that turn. You're starting to see that come around. And it's going to take good play on the field for it to go, because nobody wants to go and see a team get their butts kicked every single weekend. Well, Washington State is starting to put on a good show every Saturday team, so the fans are going to start showing up. They're starting to understand what it takes and that they can be a part of it, just like a 12th man in Seattle. They can be a part of wins. They can be a part of history. They can be a part of that culture. And so it's going in the right direction. Is it there yet? No. But I truly do feel that what Bill Moose is doing and how Coach Leach is taking his team by the horns and how the progression is really going, I think within a year, 2 years, you're going to see that consistency there.
That's the voice of former Washington State Cougar quarterback Jason Gesser, the current assistant director of development for the Cougar Athletic Fund and pregame and postgame radio host of Cougar football. Jason, thanks so much for your time, your insight, and being approachable on game days. It's great getting to meet you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys.
There goes Jason Gesser, great quarterback with Washington State in the early 2000s. Now trying to get things back to more than respectable and bringing in those dollars to continue building on the Cougar sports facilities and getting things top notch on the Palouse.
You know, Jason talked about just what Jack Thompson talked about, talking about a culture, building a culture. And, you know, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, being at Auburn University, that culture is stronger than ever as far as, you know, rallying around. And, you know, Auburn University, you know, if on the outside looking in, you see on TV, it's like, wow, you know, 90,000 people in the stadium, must be a big, big population around the area. Auburn, Alabama is population 10,000 people during the week. And it's a great culture that is built when, you know, on the week of the game. Wednesday, around 3 o'clock, when all the classes end, all the mobile homes start to move in from all around the area. And I'm talking about from as far as, you know, you can imagine. So, you know, all these campers and mobile homes start to invade the campus on Thursday, Friday. Kids are going to school. There are nothing but trailers and everything, parties going on all the way up until the weekend. Motorhomes, RVs, you name it. And on game day, 90,000 people fill that stadium. It's very similar to the Palouse. And so, you know, because the reason why this is something that I like talking about, because I talked to my father about this. And, you know, he says, hey, you know, Pullman's out in the middle of nowhere. That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse to not have, you know, the 80s to 90,000 people to fill the stadium. Because, again, I lived it down in Alabama. And I know all through the SEC that there are small towns that are like Pullman, but yet from miles and miles and miles around, they have built that culture. So it is good to get a chance to talk to Jason and understand that he is a part of building that culture. And he is. He's another hard worker that is looking to turn things around and get things back to respectability. And the Cougars, I believe, will get there.
Now, Sean, just off the top of my head, something that comes to mind when you're comparing and contrasting what's going on at Washington State and their culture versus Auburn, that is also a smaller town, just the fact of there being more of a tradition and a history of good things happening, of winning, of, you know, things that haven't happened very often at Washington State.
Yeah, you know, that is important. And, you know, I know that, you know, the comparisons, the reason why we bring the comparisons, because the Pac-12 has put themselves in a position to say, hey, we want to be known as one of the top conferences in the country. Well, if you want to be known as one of the top conferences in the country, top to bottom, you have to bring those types of fan bases, those types of cultures. It's not just at Auburn. It's at Alabama. It's at Florida. It's at LSU. It's at Texas A&M. It's at Mississippi State. Every time you see an SEC game, it's even at Vanderbilt. And every time you see an SEC game, it is packed with culture. It is packed with tradition, regardless of the wins and the losses, because at some point they know that they're going to turn it around. And if they don't, well, you know, there's a chance that, hey, maybe there's going to be the next man up as far as a coaching change is concerned. And so if the Pac-12 wants to be respected like that, they have to do what Jason was talking about and what Jack was talking about as far as that culture. Otherwise, it just becomes words. And, you know, there are a couple of universities in the Pac-12 that are trying to get to that point. And one that I can think of is the University of Oregon, that has done an awesome job in developing that culture. But until top to bottom the Pac-12 can do that, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road to hoe, and it's going to be tough to get those top recruits to come to your university or your institution.
Yeah, and it definitely takes time, and that's not only what they're learning at Washington State, but it's also, as Jason mentioned it, after they won 10 games three straight years, there was turnover after turnover after turnover, and not having consistency in coaching, in players, that hurts.
Yeah, you know, but I believe Mike Leach is, you know, has the team going in the right direction. I can't remember, you know, and here's the parody of the Pac-12. You know, Washington State puts up these tremendous numbers as far as points are concerned. And let's face it, when Cal came in, they were putting up some huge numbers too. And, you know, they had a tough nail biter against Arizona, who actually beat the University of Oregon last week. And so there is strong parity that's coming up in this Pac-12. It's now what's the Pac-12 going to do to get that brand out, and how are they going to maintain consistency as being one of the top tier conferences in the FBS? And so, you know, I think they're on their way. I think the Pac-12 has that chance, but when you're talking about a comparison of the two conferences from my standpoint, and of course, you know, growing up in the Pacific Northwest and getting a chance to, you know, or growing up in Seattle and you know, being around the University of Washington and then going into the SEC, I know the stark difference. It's not just something that's talked about. It is a huge contrast on how these two conferences handle themselves. But, you know, again, I believe that the Pac-12 can be one of those top conferences.
Sean, wrapping up show 73. What is going on currently? Monday Night Football, Seattle at Washington.
Man, it's still a close game, believe it or not. And so 17-10 in the fourth quarter, start of the fourth quarter. And so Seattle's looking to make that drive. And it's just been time of possession has been huge for the Seattle Seahawks. And so, you know, they're driving down the field now, and maybe they'll get that touchdown.
Real quick, Sean, you worked the game at Santa Clara yesterday for CBS Sports, the A crew that I had up here in Seattle 2 weeks ago. What was that like for you, getting a chance to work with the likes of Phil Simms, Jim Nantz, and the crew?
Man, Phil and Jim, awesome people. Of course, spending time up in the booth with them and just being around the crew, the A crew for CBS, always a pleasure. And of course, they'll be hosting the Super Bowl next year in Santa Clara, so that is very exciting. Great football game, an awesome football game. Kansas City Chiefs, came in and they were loaded for bear to prove that they're not a team, you know, a team that was just a fly by night last year. And you know, Coach Reed definitely has these guys on all cylinders. They have themselves believing. You know, the 49ers just had enough in the tank to pull out the win. And Sean, it's amazing how the 49ers are coming up with these wins, because, you know, you as you well know, I mean, it's been in the media for the past week on some of the murmurs in the locker room that's going on in San Francisco, which for the life of me, I can't believe is an issue, especially when you have a team that's winning right now.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it will ever go away, the monkey or gorilla on their back. And so there must be truth to it. Otherwise, eventually the fire would be put out.
You know, you have Balky coming out and saying that there's, you know, really no turmoil this week. And, you know, saying that, you know, and Jed York is saying that he's actually having good talks with Harbaugh. Just for the simple fact that they're coming out and saying those things lets you know that there is a problem. And when you're one of the people who actually is involved with the organization, even if you're on the outside looking in, working in the media such as ourselves, Sean Wally, you can actually see that dissension. It's that thick, you know, when you're looking at the organization. What I have to applaud Jim Harbaugh with is the fact that even though this dissension is going on, he's doing an excellent job of keeping his team together. Do I believe that there is separatism in the locker room? Yes. Do I believe that, you know, maybe there are some things going on that we just don't know about that will come out in the next, two or three months? I truly do. But more importantly, to have that adversity as a coach and to have people not believe in you 110%, and you can still come out and you can beat the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, says a lot about who you are in overcoming adversity. Do you? And that's what Jim Harbaugh is doing right now. He knows X's and O's, and he knows how to develop players. And regardless of all of this stuff that's going on in the locker room or outside, he's doing an excellent job in running his team.
Sean, there's so much more we haven't had a chance to get to in this hour. The Major League Baseball playoffs, your Oakland A's had a shot in the wild card game and came up short in, I believe, 12 innings. There's, you know, whether or not there'll be a new big splash hire for the Oakland Raiders head coaching position. So much to get to, not enough time. Pick one or quickly on all of it.
Well, man, we'll try to run down quickly on all of it. Of course, the Washington Nationals come in and they take care of business in San Francisco. Unfortunately, The Giants had a chance to close it out, but they're leading the season series 2-1 with another game in San Francisco coming up tomorrow. Kansas City Royals, Sean Wally, what can you say, man? I mean, they come in and they beat the best team in baseball. They sweep them 3-0 to none. They're setting up the ALCS ALCS against the Baltimore Orioles, who also swept the Detroit Lions. There's some awesome baseball going on in the National League with the Dodgers and St. Louis, both tied at 1. I mean, my goodness, man, there is a lot of stuff going on. You know, the Detroit Tigers again. Did I say the Detroit Tigers, Sean, or did I say what did I say? Did I say the Lions?
Yeah, you went to the Lions. I did say the Lions.
Okay, all right. Detroit Tigers. I'm sorry. The Detroit Tigers being swept. And so, man, there's some great baseball, some new blood, if you will, with Baltimore and Kansas City. So it should be exciting.
And do you have any inkling or thought of when a new non-interim head coach will be named in Oakland?
Oh, I think right now, you know, the Raiders are definitely, you know, taking their time. They've called in, like I said, Mike Holmgren came in, and who knows what the capacity would be. I know that Mike was receptive. He was on the air yesterday this morning on 950 KJR up in Seattle. And he was very candid and very open on what his business was in going down to Alameda. I know that he and Reggie McKenzie are really good friends, and I know that Reggie really wants to make sure that the Raiders get on the right track. So I believe that they're going to go through this process, and this time they're going to hire a marquee coach. And over the past few years, they haven't done that. They've relied on surplus coaches and you know, coaches that have offensive coordinator experience or defensive coordinator experience. Now they're looking for the marquee coach, which I'm excited about, because now they're going to spend money on the coaching staff in contrast to what they've been doing in the past and spending money on these free agents that have just done nothing for the organization so far.
And if you look into your crystal ball, the head coach you want for Raider Nation is who?
Whew. Man, in a perfect world, I would love to have, you know, Mike Holmgren as the president of the organization, helping out Reggie McKenzie as the general manager. I think that would be a great, great find for Oakland. I think that'd be a turn in the right direction with a coach. Man, if you're going to go for a marquee coach and, you know, hey, if things are going the way they're going in San Francisco, I would love to have Jim Harbaugh stay in the Bay and be across, and be across the Bay from his old team. And, so Jim Harbaugh, and even though John Gruden is saying that he's out, that I still think that would be one of those fancy, nice hires to definitely have a marquee coach.
Show 73 of On the Double with the Double S Express. A big thank you to our big time guest, Yogi Roth, Jason Gesser. Great guest to have on, Yogi, for the first time. You can follow him at Yogi Roth on Twitter. And be sure to visit lifeinawalk.com to learn about his documentary and help fund it if you so choose.
Definitely lifeinawalk.com. And of course, our other guest, Jason Gesser, also sharing with us, his Pac-12 prowess and being back in the Palouse and doing some great things with Washington State. That's one of the things, Sean, we didn't get a chance to talk about the facilities that every time you go up there, you're taking advantage of. So they must be some awesome athletic facilities up there at Wazoo.
Oh, it's night and day, and Jason's probably drooling and wishing that he could, get their new football complex 10, 12 years ago when he was there. But, it's great for the program and doing good things to get some better talented players on the football field.
No doubt about it. And of course, when you build those great facilities, you're going to get, the top recruits, no doubt. And of course, it's a nice looking stadium, Martin Stadium, and look forward to definitely having the Washington State Cougars show their prowess as they move up into the Pac-12. So, man, Sean Wally, show number 74, did you say?
That would be next Monday. This is 73, my friend.
Man, I'm trying to push it along. Show number 73 in the books. Man, it's been a great one, Sean. So as we go out, Seattle's up 17-10. I know that you love it when I tell these scores. 17-10 for the Seattle Seahawks. That's going to do it for show number 73 on the Double with the Double S Express. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double, the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up. You can beat the...